The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Bishoshem, good morning. Can you hear me? I'm not getting any feedback. Good morning, everyone. Eliyakim Meir Pick, start the day the Torah way. Today is Chof Hei Tammuz Tov Shin Pei, 17th of July, 2020, and the subject is the Green Belt. In today's Parsha, Perek Lamed Hei, Parshas Maaseh, we get a mitzvah to make an area around the town for what is called a Green Belt. You shall make towns for the Leviim, and you shall make a migrosh around the town so that you have a space. Rashi there says, Revach Mokom Cholak, an open space, chutz lo'ir, outside the town, soviv li'os lo'noi lo'ir, for the beauty of the town, the Eina Rishoy Livnos Shom, and you may not build on it. You may not build on it a house, Velon into a kerem, you may not plant a vineyard, Velon is Razaria, and you may not plant. There in Posek Dalad it says, Migrashay Arim, Nikire Vachutza Elef Amosoviv. It's 1,000 Amos radius. But then in Posek K it says, Umadosem Chutzari Espaas. And you shall have in each direction, going to the east, going to the west, going to the north, going to the south, you will have 2,000 amos. So Rashi, of course, asks this question as to what are we talking about? Is it 1,000 amos or is it 2,000 amos? So according to Rashi, he says, you have 2,000 amos set aside around the town, and the first 1,000 is open space, not to have any usage on it except for children playing or recreation. Alpaim, who knows him, I'm solid. Or Mehem, Elef Apanimios Migrosh, that is the inner 1,000. Lachitonim, Lachitonim, this goes to Kroimim. And then the further 1,000, you can have fields, you can have vineyards, and so on. That's also the opinion of the Rashbam. However, the opinion of the Rambam is that 2,000 mentions in Posek K is an additional area around the town. First you have 1,000, and then you have a further 2,000. 1,000 you can't build or do anything on it, but the next 2,000 you can have agriculture on it. So that makes a total of 3,000. That is set out by the Rambam in Hilchos Shmita VeYovel and Perek Yud Gimel. So you have an open space of 3,000 amos. And there the Rambam writes that this din is not only for the towns of the Leviim, but for all the towns of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, in Yehoshua and Perek Chof Aleph, it talks about the different Shevatim having their different towns, and each one it talks about Umigresheho and their Migrosh. So they each have, and therefore, according to many opinions amongst Rishonim and Achronim, this is a din d'oraisa for all towns to have an area around the town. The Ramban talks about the actual area of the town itself, and he talks about the 1,000 amos as being 500 on each side, but that's his another opinion, and he is questioned by the Ksava Kabbalah because the Torah doesn't really specify the size of a town. And the Gemara at the end of Eir Arachin talks about these Oriya Levirin, and that they're average size, they're not so big, but this rule applies to every town. Now, I've met a number of non-Jewish professors on the subject of town planning, and they were astounded to hear that this concept is in the Torah, because they preach that the concept of putting a green area around the town is something which is only from the 20th century. There were the Garden City movement, Letchworth, Welling Garden City, Hampstead Garden Suburb, and the concept of having a green belt around the town really only came in the year 1955. And they were astounded to hear that the Torah is actually specifying this for every Jewish city in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, I came across a secular university textbook on the subject of green belt by someone called Sir Frederick Osborne. And he says, looking at the history of the green belt, he was astounded to find that such a rule is, in fact, in the Bible. So the Goyim will learn from our Torah, L'sakin olam b'malchus shakai, v'chol b'nei boso yikru v'tnecho. And it's an interesting idea, because the Gemara in Brachos, there in Nun Zayin, says that there are a number of things, shloshes v'ayim marchiv in data shel odom, which make a person relaxed in his mind. Isha noyeh, dira noyeh, and Kalin noyeh. So a person who has a nice place to live, although it is a gashmir thing, although it's a materialistic thing, that in turn gives a person a better chance to concentrate and to practice his ruchnius properly. In fact, the Kuzari writes that our spiritual well-being is influenced not only by our social environment, but also our physical environment. It can change the way that we think. In the Gemara Kesuvos, Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis, it talks about how the quality of the environment is important and is very vulnerable in larger cities, so much so that a man may not force his wife to move from a small settlement to a large city. Rabbi Yossi ben Reb Chanina says, because living in cities is difficult. And Mashi there writes, many people live in cities in high density, houses are close together, there is poor air quality, but in small settlements there are gardens, there are orchards near dwellings, and the air is pleasant. So, town planning is not just confined to the green belt in Halacha. There are many inyonim in Halacha relating to the way towns are organized, not to fell fruit trees. Industrial uses must be situated outside the town. Marchiken tanavelos, the sakavoros, the sabruskim, in our ear, chamishim amo, Gemara Baba Basra, in Perek Beis, Mishnah Tes, talks about the industrial uses which have to be set away from the residential areas, especially the threshing floors, which can be very smelly, and that they should be located on the east side of the town rather than the west side of the town because of the prevailing westerly winds. A big lesson for those who plan Heathrow Airport. And the Rambam writes in Hilchas Shechenim that these offensive uses, in Perek Yud Aleph, he says that the noxious smells and the noisy uses can never get a chazaka. Even if a use has been there for a very long time, it does not acquire a chazaka. Now, we can ask a number of questions on this subject of Migrosh, specifically in the Psukim in this week's Parsha. The first question I have is, why is it that when we talk about the 1,000 Amos, the inner radius, so to speak, the Migrosh, it just simply says, Elef Amos Oviv. There, in three words, roundabout, you've got your radius of 1,000 Amos. But then when you look in the next Pasuk, in Pasuk K, on the outer area, the 2,000 Amos, It says that a whole lengthy wording, so to the east and to the west and to the north and the south, why is it said in such a way? The Torah does not waste its words. After all, just now with the Migrosh it said, Elef Amosovim, all the way around you have 1,000 Amos. So why can't it then say, and then there's a further radius all the way around, 2,000 Amos? But it doesn't. It says it in a very long way around. And the Torah doesn't waste its words. Why is it written in that way? The second question which I have is, why is it, it says in Pasuk Hey, the first phrase of Alpine Ba'amo, which is said four times, but the first time it says it, has a very unusual trop, a very unusual musical note called the Karnei Poro. It's the only place in the whole Chumash where you have this musical note. The Karnei Poro is traditionally read, according to the Minchas Shai, in a very glorified way. He says with a poser and with a Tlisha Gedola, a crescendo, so to speak, in a very dramatic format. And the only other place where we read a Karnei Poro publicly is on the subject of Homon in Megillas Esther, where Chavona suggests that he has hung on the gallows that he had made for Mordechai. What is the significance of this Kadei Parah? And it's preceded by another unusual musical note called the Yerach Ben Yomo, literally a one-day-old moon. Very strange. And you wouldn't think that there's anything dramatic about the subject of Migrosh. You know, elsewhere in the Torah, when you get real drama, like when Yitzchok discovers that the bracha was taken by Yaakov Avinu, it says, Vayecharad Yitzchok Charogel Agololad, it says, Vayomer with a poser, and mi oifo, Vayomer, mi oifo, something dramatic. That's the poser. And in fact, the Karnik Korah is called the poser Godo. Also, so you get the Shalsheles giving a dramatic insight. And you only got four of those in the Torah. You've got the Merchok Fula. You only got five of those in the Torah. But here we've got a musical note for something which doesn't really seem to be anything particularly special with drama. So what is the significance of the Karnei Parah? Now, the Meiri writes that this Migrash of 1000 does not use the word peos, peos meaning corners. Namely, the outer green belt, which has the word peos, has corners, or to use the wording of the Gemara, koronos. The Gemara in Erevin and Zion, Rabbi Akiva learns out the din of Tchum Shabbos from this din of Migrash. That the din of Tchum Shabbos of 2000 Omos, which he holds is Min HaTorah, although we paskan the Rabbanon, but it's learnt out from the subject of Migrosh, of being 2,000 amos going to each side. And there, what is the din of the Sechum Shabbos? That you can't go outside the town on Shabbos more than 2,000 amos. It has koronos. It has corners. So the Sechum Shabbos is a square. Even if the shape of the town is a circle, you square off the circle so that you've got corners in each side, namely koronos. It's interesting because 2,000 amos to the side, so when you go into the corner of the square, it's 2,800 amos. You're entitled to walk further than 2,000 amos. The rule of Pythagoras, root 2 of the square. So it's 2,800 amos. And interestingly enough, if you make an Eruv Tchumin to extend your 2,000 amos to 4,000 amos, the Chazon Ish writes that although the Tchum Shabbos is a north-south shape, or north-south direction, in the case of an Eruv of Tchumin, you can make it in any direction. So you can make your square of your Tchum in a north-west-southeast shape, and then you can make
Kol Halashon
your Eruv of Tchumin for a further distance. So it's not simply 4,000 amos instead of 2,000 amos. You can make your Eruv 5,600 amos instead of 2,800 amos. And all this din comes out from Migrosh, that the din of 2,000 amos going in each direction. And so now maybe we can understand a bit more about what these two questions were. We asked, why is it that the Migrosh is Elef Amos Toviv all the way around? Because that is a circular radius. And then we asked about the detailed wording of the Pa'af Kedma Alpaim Bo Amos. That is something with the koronos, with corners, and it's stressed. And we learn out the din of Tchum Shabbos from this. And that is why it is written in more detail. Now, the second question we asked, why do we have the Karnei Parah, the musical note, which is certainly a bit more difficult to find sources about, but I've managed to delve around, and we've already given now the indication in terms of Peshat what's going on here. The whole reason why we've got Karnei Parah, Karnei, the koronos, the corners. And so it's a remez to the whole idea of Tchum Shabbos being spelt out by the Karnei Parah. Because we want to stress the din, and we're getting a halacha out from the musical note of the Karnei Parah that you have koronos in the Tchum Shabbos. So we have an idea of paradise. Paradise means you go into Peshat, Remez, Jerush, and Soed. So we've given a kind of Peshat. Let's now see if we can apply paradise, no pun intended, that paradise and orchards are a feature of the Migrosh, or the outer Migrosh, the outer 2,000 Amos. If you look at the musical notes, the trop, on Alpaim Bo'amo, which is written four times, the first pair of words have the Karne Poro. The second set of words of Alpine Ba'amo have a Kadmo Va'azlo. Kadmo Va'azlo. And then the third set of those two words has a Munach Revi'a. Munach Revi'a. And then the fourth set has a Mercho Tipcho, which is almost unmusical in itself. Mercho Tipcho. What is the significance of this? So Reb Daniel Shlian from Teaneck, New Jersey, said, we find here an interesting idea. The Bnei Yisrael have just been going through the Masoros, all their travels. For 210 years they were in Mitzrayim, most of which they were slaves. For 40 years they've been homeless. They're dreaming of having a home. So what is the halacha which then comes to us in Parshas Maaseh, the din of how you build your cities and how you surround your city to make a Zironoia, to make a nice town, an attractive place in which to live, where the children can play, and where you've got the fresh air, and when you've got lots of recreation. But when you have that eagerness for your mitzvah, and you're in the midbar, and you're told about a new mitzvah, you want to hop into it and go into it with great enthusiasm. So he says the start of that is the Karne Poro. Just like when a person needs to fill in for the very first time, you get that real excitement, enthusiasm. But as time goes on, a person might just become a bit more laid back and relaxed. And that's the unfortunate thing which can happen with keeping mitzvahs in general. So he says, we start here with the Karne Poro. Then we get the Kadmo Va'azlo, which is still a proactive movement. Kadmo Va'azlo, Kadam Va'azlo is to get up and to go. Kadmo Va'azlo. Like with Avraham Avinu at the beginning of Vayera, when there's lots of Kadmo Va'azlos, he rushes to help the angels get their food. The third set of the Naginas on the Alpine Barmo is the Munach Revi'a. Munach means one gets a bit laid back. Munach means to rest. And the fourth set is the Mercho Tipcho. Well, it's unmusical. But unfortunately, people might, with human nature, tend to fall into the mundane and monotony of the way they keep their mitzvahs. And this is a musa lesson to us, to tell us that all our mitzvahs we should approach with the enthusiasm, just like it's a new novelty, like the Karne Poro, which we start with, which is dramatic with the Pozer Godol. And that is the remez set out by the Alpine Ba'amo. We mentioned that the only other place we read publicly the Karne Poro is in Megillat Esther, when Charvonah suggests that Haman is hung on the gallows which he built for Mordechai. Unfortunately, because of the banging from him, you don't really get the appreciation of that Karne Poro, which I have heard some lay it in a real nice dramatic way, but they have to repeat themselves because of all the banging going on in the shul. So what is the common denominator between the Karne Poro with Haman in Esther and the Karne Poro with the Migrosh in Parshas Maaseh? It would feel as though they're miles apart in their concepts and that one's got nothing to do with the other. But in fact, there is a common denominator. The whole pasuk there of Charvonah talking about Haman being hanged on the gallows he meant for Mordechai was a transformation. It was Vanathoku, that the whole story of Esther was turned on its head because Haman was to be hanged on the gallows that he built. That is the transformation. The Bnei Israel came out from Mitzrayim after 210 years. They were 40 years homeless, and now they were coming to live in their own home. That is the big transformation for a person's life. When they dream of living in their own houses and towns with their migrosh all around it, what amazing transformation is that, to, in contrast to the lives that they've been living for the last 250 years? That is the Karne Poro. It's the transformation, just like we found with the subject of Haman. Well, we spoke about Paradis, so there's also the idea of Sod. Sod is, what is the secretive aspect? What is the Kabbalah side of the Karne Poro? And I found in the Sefer Rosh Milin, where the Karne Poro is analyzed, the Karne Poro is about the cow. The cow is a very productive animal. It gives us milk. It represents richness. It represents productivity. The idea, he says, is that the best form of living is with the recreational ability around us. That if we manage to spend those few minutes a day on a workout, then we'll be learning our Torah better with better concentration. That if we just sit all day long without moving, then our concentration will wane and we won't be able to learn Torah so properly and practice the mitzvah so well. So we need that physical recreation, which is productive. And that is the symbol of the Karnei Porah, which are preceded by the Yerach Ben Yomo. The Yerach Ben Yomo is simply a lead-in to the Karnei Porah. It's a meshores. But what does Yerach Ben Yomo mean? The moon, which is one day old, namely, it's beginning to shine more and more. It's the symbol of growth. And that symbol of growth, of light, increases with time. So the Yerach Ben Yomo goes hand in hand with the Karnei Porah because it symbolizes growth, and the Karnei Porah is giving you this productivity, like the milk of the cow. And that is why you got the Karnei Porah on the Midrash and spelt out with four times Alpaim Ba'amo, but with the first phrase having it. So we have here Pshat Remez Rosh Tod, but let's come back to a simple idea. We have the Torah telling us about a din, a halacha which is brought down in Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishpat, that you have a midrash around the town. We're being told how to live. 3,000 years before now, we are given the idea of how to live, and we are being given a lesson which has taken the modern day environmentalists by surprise. That those people who are preaching carbon emissions and global warming and the need for a green environment, this is all new stuff for them, but really it's been in the Torah all along. The Torah is not the history book. The Torah is applicable to every single day of our lives. And it's modern, it's up to date. So if I would ask you the question, what if you put out the Torah as a new, if you lay it out as a newspaper, what date would be written on it? What date would be written on this Torah newspaper? Now, most people I've asked this question to have answered, well, the 6th or 7th of Sivan, 2448, Mamad Har Sinai. That's not the answer. In the Torah, it gives a number of examples where you speak about today. For example, the din of Gid HaNoshe. In Bereishis, Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel. Arkein Le'yechlu B'nei Yisrael, Gid HaNoshe, Ad Hayom Hazeh. Until today. What does today mean? Today means the 17th of July, 2020. And tomorrow is the 18th of July. Tomorrow is Chof Zov Tammuz, and then there's Chof Zayin Tammuz. Another example. Also in Bereishis, Lamed Hei, Posuk Chof, He Matzeves Kivuras Rochel, when Rochel was buried, Ad Hayom. That is the burial place of Rochel until today. What is today? Today isn't when the Torah was given at Mamad Har Sinai. It's today, Chof Hei Tammuz, Tov Shin Pei. And I'll give you a proof from Sefer Yehoshua. Because in Sefer Yehoshua, where it talks about 12 stones being placed in the river Yarden, there in Yehoshua, Perek Dalud, Posuk Tes, it talks about the 12 stones being put in the Yarden, and that those stones, Vayu Yishom Ad Hayom Hazeh, until this day. And if you look at the Matsudas Dovid on that Posuk, he writes something amazing. He says, Rotzaloma Ad Olam, for always, for anyone who reads this posuk in his time, in the time that he will be living, that posuk is talking about that particular day. And this is a very important principle, that whenever we say Ad Hayom or Ad Hayom Hazeh, it's talking about today. And next week it's talking about next week. And the week after it's talking about the week after. So that the Torah is modern, it's up to date. And we've discussed this principle of Midrash, a small part of the Torah, which often doesn't even get much mention from Mefarshim, but it's so significant, it might be exciting for town planners, but it's not necessarily exciting for lots of other people, but it spells out the modernity of Torah, how the Torah applies and is relevant to all generations. And we are ahead of the Torah of all others. And it's a lesson not just for the Yidden, but for people all around the world. And with just that principle, it gives us a chizuk in appreciating how the Torah is so appropriate and up to date and relevant and applicable, more so than any other culture in the world. And as we will say tomorrow, chazak chazak v'nitchazek. Thank you very much.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.